respect for the Word of God, the precious, precious book. Verse 9, 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Let's talk tonight about this mysterious man, Jabez. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight with a grateful heart, a heart that's full, Lord, of your blessings, your power, filled with gratitude and humble thanksgiving, God. Lord, I know who I am. I know what I deserve. And Lord, I pray you help me to never forget that. God, that I would be always, always thrilled by the name of Jesus, that my heart would continually be thrilled with the fact of my own redemption, cleansing of all of my sins through the blood of my Savior. Now, God, tonight I pray for every one of us to humble our hearts, Lord, that we would sit here ready to hear. You would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to behold, to hear, and to receive wondrous things out of this book. Oh God, bind the devil, please. Don't let there be one unclean or contrary spirit in this room. Please give perfect liberty, I pray, through your grace and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, you may be seated. Like the preacher said, I don't plan on being long tonight, but I don't plan on being short either. Amen. Anyway, thank you. Yeah, all right. We don't really know much about this man named Jabez. He's sort of mysterious. We know a few things here the Bible tells us. He was more honorable, verse 9, than his brethren. Now we know from the context of the scripture, if you go back to verse 1 of this same chapter, we're talking about the sons of Judah. Chapter 4, verse 1, the sons of Judah. And then the list begins there of names that nobody can pronounce. And then we get to verse 9, and all of a sudden it just changes gears, so to speak. But we know that he was more honorable than his brethren. We know from verse 9 also that his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in sorrow. There was some sadness in her life, apparently, during the time of her pregnancy, her childbirth, his birth, the mother's carrying him as her child. We know also in that his name means sorrow. Because of that, she named him Sorrow. What a name, huh? Sorrow. What's your name? Sorrow. I'm sorry. Sorrow. We also know, though, in verse 10, God just jumps right to verse 10 in this Jabez's life. God, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Folks, that's prayer. Yep. We know that Jabez prayed in verse 10 a very specific prayer. And also, we know at the end of that verse, God granted him that which he... God answered and gave him what he asked for. Now, that isn't really much about his life. I mean, that's a very small speck, if you will, just a tip of the iceberg of a man's life. Who were his immediate brethren? Who were his parents? It looks like maybe he was maybe born into a single mother home here, because she said that she bore him with sorrow. Now, in a Jewish custom, if you will, it would have been very rare and even unacceptable and frowned upon that a mother have a child out of wedlock. And so it could be, I don't know, the Bible doesn't really tell us, it could be that the man was born to a single mother, and maybe that's why she named him Sorrow.
Right.
Because it wasn't, she realized it wasn't what God wanted for her life. And it's never what God wants for the life of a lady to have children out of wedlock. But there are many other things. We just don't know. That I'm speculating there. It could be completely opposite. But the truth is, there are many other question marks about his life, but God just doesn't give us the details. There's one other mention of his name. If you look back in chapter 2 of 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, verse 55, the families of the scribes that which dwelt at Jabez, the Terahites, the Shimeites, the Sukkonites, and etc. So we know there was a place, a town, if you will, that bears his name. And that's the only other mention of this man's name in all of the Bible. Jabez in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, and then the place called Jabez in chapter 2. Now, just through study, you'll find out that Jewish historians tell about him being a high-ranked doctor. Not a medical doctor, but a doctor of the law, a scribe, if you will. And it's believed that he drew the admiration of so many Jewish scribes that they named a town after him because they all came to sit at his feet and learn the law of God. Now, but you'll notice God doesn't tell us that.
Right.
Is it true? Well, it historically speaking, it could be true, but we know that this book is inspired and preserved as the Word of God, and this is what God wants us to know about Jabez.
Yes, right.
Now, all of the other things you can learn and you can say, but that's not God's Word necessarily. But I don't believe God wants us to worry about if he was a doctor or whatever else. I think there's something else going on here, greater than what the historians say, and we can draw from the life of Jabez tonight. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. Again, what I believe through prayer, I think I'm going to show it to you here tonight, is Jabez is a type of Christ. Jabez is a picture of Jesus. Now, what do you mean by a type of Christ, preacher? Throughout the Old Testament, you're going to read things, and you're if as you study and as you walk with God and as you learn Jesus and the truth of the Word of God, and things begin to put the puzzle pieces start to come together, so to speak, and you start to be able to fit things together, you're going to start to see that in the Old Testament, there's a lot of types or pictures of things and people and places in the New Testament. It's been said that the Old Testament conceals what the New Testament reveals.
Right.
Okay? They both work hand in hand. It's all God's Word. It's all relevant to us today. It's all good and edifying for us today. But boy, typology, the study of types, is simply looking at symbols or figures of something or someone that's still yet to come. A type. For example, Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark, we know Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God chose him to build an ark and to basically save all of the animal life, and he saved his family through that. But Noah's Ark is a type of Christ. The ark itself is a type of Christ. Think about this. You had to be in the ark in order to be rescued and saved from the judgment. It wasn't enough to just know about the ark.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough to just see Noah building the ark and say, I believe there's an ark there. That's not enough. You had to be in the ark. Amen. And anyone that wasn't in the ark and was not saved, they faced the judgment of God. And dearly beloved, that's still true today. Anyone that's not in Christ is without salvation. They're going to face judgment. Joseph, we talked about that a little bit in the men's meeting tonight. We're going to start to study Joseph. He's a type of Christ. There's about 255 different things you can find that directly parallel Joseph's life with Jesus' life. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go over all of those tonight, but he was rejected by his brethren.
Yep.
Right.
Right? He was the favorite of his father.
Yep.
Amen.
See, in those things in the Old Testament, thousands of years before Jesus. Now, some people will tell you, well, these stories in the Old Testament aren't real stories. They're just God showing us pictures of things to come. No. Not at all. They're absolutely true, verifiable stories that really happened. Jabez was a real person. Joseph was a real person. Noah was a real person. The ark was a real thing. The judgment of the flood, it happened. But listen, but those were pictures, shadows of things to come. Another one is the Passover lamb. You remember after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, okay, and that night before they came out, they had to kill a lamb without spot and without blemish, and they had to put that lamb's blood on the doorpost and the side post. And when that night, God Himself, the Bible says, came through the land, and He killed the firstborn of every family that did not have the blood applied to their doorpost. Now that lamb's blood had to be applied. It wasn't enough to just have a lamb. It wasn't enough to just know about the lamb. It wasn't enough to even kill the lamb. The blood had to be applied to the door. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You will not face the judgment. And that's a picture of the Lamb of God, amen, which taketh away the sin of the world. And His blood has to be applied to the heart. It's not enough just to believe. There's a faith receiving Christ. I don't literally take the blood and put it anywhere, you understand, but God applies the blood, and that blood is what washes our sins away.
Amen.
And hallelujah. And that's a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, there's many of them. There's the Red Sea crossing. Now, that doesn't picture salvation. When they came out of Egypt, that was a type of salvation. They came out of the world. They were saved from the bondage and slavery of sin. But the Red Sea crossing pictures baptism. After they come out, after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. Amen? You go into the water, and you come back up out of the water. Now, they didn't get wet. Okay, it's just a type, you understand, of baptism after salvation. Infant baptism has nothing to do with the Bible, amen? It has nothing to do with true salvation. Leaven in the Bible. Leaven is a type of sin.
Yep.
You know what leaven is, don't you? It's that stuff you put in bread and that makes yeast. It makes it. If you don't do something about it, it'll just get. You'll have a loaf of bread about this tall. It'll just keep on and growing and growing. And all it's really doing is just separating the particles within the bread and filling it up with air. Well, leaven, the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It does. It leavens the whole loaf of bread, but it's a picture of sin. A little bit of sin in your life will take over your whole life before you know it. A little bit of sin that you allow, that you dabble in, like we were talking about in the men's meeting, just a little bit of sin will take over if you don't get it out. If you don't get rid of it. If you say, how do I get rid of it? Well, you repent. You repent and you say, God, I confess to you this is sin. I ask you to take this out. Cleanse me from this sin. If we confess our sins, that's up to us, by the way. You can't have some priest pray over you. And by the way, you know, we're not confessing to some priest either. If we confess our sins, we already have a high priest in the heavens, ever living, making intercession for us. And if we confess our sins to God through Jesus Christ, the Bible says He, God, is faithful and just, and He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But see, that leaven, and that is a type of sin. Leprosy is another type of sin. It eats away at your whole body. Your skin starts to fall off in pieces. And you have to leave your family, you have to leave your job, you have to get out of your house, and you have to go live in a leper colony, and you have to proclaim before anybody gets close enough, unclean, 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 because it was very contagious. Well, can I say something to you? Sin is very contagious. What do you mean by that? You get around somebody that's constantly sinning, it's going to rub off on you. You get around somebody that's rebellious, and you're going to be rebellious. See, leprosy is a type of sin. And these things help us understand the Bible. These things help us. The Old Testament sacrifices, the Jews, man, they would spend all night long offering up sacrifices, hundreds and hundreds of bullocks and oxen. Boy, that was a very dirty job. But it was all pointing to Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Amen. Well, that's why we don't have to do that anymore. Amen. Because Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. The tabernacle, boy, if you don't know, the tabernacle is just full of types. The brazen altar, the laver, the candlestick, the light of the world, the showbread, the bread of life, the altar of incense, the ever-living tent, make intercession for us. The mercy seat, and we talked about that, but where it's overlaid with gold, it's wood, overlaid with gold. In other words, all we are is a bunch of wood, but God overlays us with His gold. Hallelujah. He puts the mercy seat on top of us. The blood of Christ was applied to the mercy seat, and that blood is the reason we're saved today. Amen. I mean, there's just so many types. All of the tabernacle. The tabernacle has got tons and tons of types, and we're going to talk about that in the Bible Institute here in the next week or so. God calls Himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a picture of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You study out Abraham, he is the father of the Jewish race, right? The father. Abraham, Isaac, the Son, Jacob, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You study it out. You'll see types, all kinds of types through there. I don't have time to do that, but you study these types. It doesn't change the truth. It doesn't. It just adds to it. You understand? It just kind of sheds light on it.
Amen.
It's an illustration, if you will, of what the truth is, and it helps us see it with a different light. So maybe we're looking at Christ from the front, but maybe there's something God wants to see it from the side. It's just something for us to think about. And I'm not gonna wow you tonight, but hopefully I'm gonna turn your heart and your mind to Jesus, and we can see some wonderful truths about Jesus right here from this mysterious man named Jabez. Number one, quickly, Jabez shows up in the middle of what some might call a very dry list of names. You look in chapter 4 here in 1 Chronicles, and let's just read verse 1. The sons of Judah, Phares, Hezron, Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reaiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad, and these are the families of the Zorathites. And these were the father of Etam, Jezreel, Ishma, Idbash, and the name of her sister was Hazelelponi. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of... Now, that would be hard to preach about those names. As you read through those names, listen, let me say this to you before I go any further. They're in the Bible for a reason. Okay? God recorded every word of God is pure, including these names that are hard to pronounce. But these people are in the Bible for a reason. But what I'm trying to say to you, reading these names is difficult for us. Okay? Because they're just not anything like we name our children anymore. Hur, that's not hard. Amen. Asher, Gad, Asher, Judah. And so it goes on to see, and the fact is, we have names that we're reading, but then all of a sudden, just boom, like right in the middle of the names, kind of like a jack in the box, right? It just pops up. Here's Jabez, out of nowhere, so to speak. Jabez just kind of shows up surprisingly. He brings life to this list.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Think about it. I'm talking about Jabez being a type of Christ. He brings life to this list. He provides a spark. Now listen, in what might have otherwise been a boring read. Now, the Word of God's not boring, but I'm just being practical with you tonight. This is types of Jesus, things that God showed me as I was reading this. I realized this man is a type of Christ. Jesus brings lively hope to a dry and barren life.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Yeah. Jesus is the rock in the wilderness that gave water in the middle of a dry and barren land. Jesus just out of nowhere just gives light and life to what otherwise might be a dry and boring life.
Right.
Are you listening to me tonight? Jesus brings abundant life to the sometimes and often mundane, routine nature of this life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just live a life and you just go to work and come home and go to work and come home and go to work, go to school, go to work, go to school, go to school, come home, you're going to find yourself in a rut.
Yeah,
you know what they said a rut is, right? Brother DeShazo told me this. I'll give him the credit for it. A rut is a coffin with both ends kicked out. A rut. In other words, you're just dying. You're just laying in a rut. You're not going anywhere. Yep. Life can be a rut. Life can be boring and mundane and routine. And listen, but when Jesus shows up, amen, the light comes on. Hallelujah. The jack in the box comes out. And here's Jesus, amen. Here's eternal life. Here's everlasting life. Here's blessings. Here's hope. Here's joy. Here's love. Here's peace. Here's goodness. Here's kindness. Here's gentleness. Here's faith. Here's temperance. Here's all the things. Here's purpose. Direction.
That's
in a dry and boring, barren life. Listen, what is life without Jesus?
Yeah, really? Come on.
Well, I'm just going to make more money, and that'll... No, it won't. I'm just going to find me a different girl. No, it won't. I'll find me a different boy. No, it won't. It'll last, it'll be like this for a while, and then the bottom will fall out again.
Yeah.
I'll find me a new drug. I'll find me a new sin. I'll find me a new girl. I'll find me a new addiction. And for a while, but then... And you're right back. That rut just gets a little bit deeper. But Jesus, amen, shows up in the middle of a dry and barren land, and he is an oasis, hallelujah, forever. Glory to God. See, Jabez is a type of Christ. Remember, the rock in the wilderness gave water. The manna from heaven came down in the middle of the wilderness. It came down from where? Heaven. Jesus, the bread of life. You remember there was a pillar of fire that led them by night? That was Jesus. That was a pillar of fire. There was a pillar of cloud that led them by day. Do you know that that cloud hovered over top of the tabernacle every day? And it hovered at night. The fire hovered over top of the tabernacle every night. And when God said it's time to leave, you know what happened? The cloud started to move.
Yep.
And they said, okay guys, pack up. Let's go. Load it up, man. And they did. And the cloud took them somewhere else.
Yep.
And all they did was follow Jesus.
Amen.
Now, that's not boring. Because you never know where he's going to lead you. You never know what he's going to do for you. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Because he's leading and all I'm doing is following. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. He leadeth me. I follow because I know he's a good shepherd. But I can remember my life before Jesus. It was like those list of names. It was like, oh man.
Yeah, amen.
I got to go to work again.
Right.
I got to go to school again. I got to mow the yard again. I got to pay the bills again. Come on, are you with me tonight? It's like, but in the middle of all that, thank God that Jesus came along and turned on the light switch, hallelujah. And then came Jesus, amen, and everything changed. Hallelujah. Number two, Jabez is from the tribe of Judah. We're reading about Judah there in verse 1. And so we're reading about Judah, and his name means praise. We know that Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. You know that. Judah was the fourth born son of Jacob, and Leah named him Judah, which means praise, because she was filled with praise for the Lord having given her another son. It was a privilege to have sons, and Leah knew that. And listen to me, we should always have praise in our hearts when we think about our Savior. Our Lord and Jesus Christ always ought to bring praise to our lips. Understand something. Why would we praise? Because He is our Savior. He has given us everything we have. He is the Redeemer, the ransom. We talked about everything. You have nothing without Him. Now you have everything, all the blessings of God. You have inherited all of glory, all of heaven, and it's all because of Jesus. That ought to bring praise to our hearts and our lips. Praise. I mean, I know Jabez's name means sorrow, but he was born out of praise. We'll talk about that in a minute. But look in Psalm 145. We'll be back. You better put a marker there because it's going to be hard to find that again. Amen. I'm just kidding, y'all. Come on. Liven up. Psalm 145, verse 1. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King. Extol, by the way, means praise. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now, how long is that? Ever and ever. Every day. Look at this. Verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And you could go ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. What does that mean? You're never going to find the bottom of it.
Amen.
You're never going to find the end of it. It's a bottomless well of greatness. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness.
Amen.
Sing of thy righteousness. Oh, I just want to sing, amen. Oh, how great thou art. Brother Ethan played the perfect song for this message, amen. How great thou art. Look in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Who else is full of compassion? Nobody.
Right.
Slow to anger. Hallelujah. Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all.
Amen.
Now come on. I'm talking about Jesus here.
Amen.
The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all His works. Overshadowing everything that God does is His tender mercies.
Amen.
Amen. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. I just think that we need to praise our Lord and our Savior more than we do. I think it ought to be almost spontaneous. Hallelujah. When I think about Jesus, when I think about who He really is, when I think about the life that He's brought to my mundane, boring, dry, desert wilderness of life, I ought to just say, hallelujah, thank you, God. Praise Him, all ye children. All the saints of God. Forever and ever will I ever. His works are great and mighty. Listen, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of Jesus in Jabez. Quickly, go back to 1 Chronicles 4. Another thing here. Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. It says right there, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Jesus had human brothers, and he was more honorable than they all were.
Right. Amen.
But listen, he also has you and me. Amen. Spiritual brethren.
Amen.
We're born again. We're born from God, born with life from above. And we are His spiritual brethren. We are joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs of the glory of God in heaven. But listen to me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Is still far superior.
Amen.
Still far above and always will be and than any of us could ever possibly even dream of. And we sing about the friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a brother, amen, spiritually speaking. He is our Savior. But we need to be very careful that we don't come to a place where we feel like maybe we're His peer, we're His equal. Now I know that's not going to happen, but I just want you to see Jesus tonight, okay? Is that okay? I just want you to see Jesus for a little while. I think it'll help us just to look at Jesus for a little while tonight. He's more honorable than all of His brethren.
Right.
And in the story of Jabez, we don't even really know who his brothers are. Is it all those people we just read about? Some of them, maybe, we don't know. God doesn't tell us who they are. It doesn't matter because He's more honorable than all of His brethren.
Amen.
You and me, we're saved, we're born again, but I want you to notice He is more honorable than all of us. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll come back now. Philippians chapter 2. Everybody okay still? Amen. I'm just talking about Jesus. If this doesn't do your heart good, maybe you need to get saved. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man. Are y'all there yet? I don't want to go too fast. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, Jesus of course, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, you could never equal that.
That's right.
You're not going to equal that. I could die for Jesus, but it's not because I'm dying on the cross for souls.
Yeah.
Okay, wherefore, because of that death on the cross, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. Who?
Jesus.
And given Him, who? Jesus, a name which is above what? Every name. Hallelujah. Every name. Jesus is above every name. He is way more honorable than anyone else in this world. At the name of Jesus, listen to this now, every knee should bow.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Man, I want to bow it right now.
Amen. Yes.
I think, you know, Let me just stop right there for a minute as the Holy Spirit leads. You can bow it now.
Yep.
And accept the fact that he's way more honorable than you are. And you will see the difference in your life.
Yep.
As you humble yourself.
Yeah.
Before him who is the greatest of all.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Or you could live a rotten,
yep,
rebellious life. And one day God's going to say, no, now you're going to bow.
Yep.
And you're going to be ashamed.
Uh-huh.
That God has to make you bow.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Come on, preach.
Are there Christians, are there people that are saved that will not bow? And oh yeah, I guarantee you, they're all over the place. But one day they're going to bow whether they like it or not. I like to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, I'm not bragging about me, I'm bragging about him. Because he's way more honorable than anybody else. I don't worship you, and I don't worship my wife, I don't worship my children, I don't worship money, I don't worship this world, but I do bow a knee to him. I do bow a knee to him.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
And I kind of like it.
Amen.
I kind of enjoy it.
Amen.
Because it reminds me who he really is.
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every knee should bow. Things in heaven. Things in earth.
Amen.
Things under the earth. Now, I don't want to know what those things are. Every tongue. Every tongue. I'm telling you what, that's my Jesus.
Yep.
And that's my Savior. And I don't mind confessing him. I don't mind bowing to him. I like to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of my Father. Listen, I believe that we need to see in Jabez that Jesus is more honorable than all of his brethren. I believe we need to learn from this that Jesus must and should and deserves our honor all the days of our lives. I thought you praise and honor, they're similar, but listen, honor is different than praise. Honor is respect. Now listen, loyalty and service. You can praise God all day long, but if you don't serve him, it's a waste of time. You understand what I'm saying? You can praise God and so-called worship him, but the worship that he accepts is our loyal, faithful service. Because he's more honorable than all of us. Than all of us. All of us combined. Good night. All of us piled up in all the world. All Christians in all of the world. Ever saved, past, present, or future. In a big pile, we don't even amount to a hill of beans.
Right.
Compared to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this is my Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Go back to 1 Chronicles. He's more honorable than all of his brethren. Also, number 4, Jabez's mother bore him with sorrow. It says, because his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And I just want to point out to you tonight, Jesus' mother also bore him with sorrow.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about bowing down to Mary. Don't misunderstand me. But Mary had to trust God.
Yep.
Mary had to trust God because you remember she was a young, pure virgin.
Right.
She had not known a man. She was not married to Joseph yet, and she did not get married to him. Amen. And she was never with him as husband and wife,
right,
until after Jesus was born.
Right.
She had to face the mockery.
Right.
She had to face the scoffing and the scorning, and she did it all. Listen now. To bring Jesus into the world. She did it all because it was the will of God for her. And she bore him with sorrow. There's a lot of raised eyebrows. People whispering about Mary, I guarantee you. Joseph was even tempted to say, no, You ain't been faithful to me. I'm putting you away. That's what the Bible says. God had to come tell Joseph, Joseph, hey, sit up straight and listen, boy. This is my doing.
That's right.
You don't dare even think that anymore. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
But you understand, it was reality. The reality was she was a young virgin, never been with a man. How's she pregnant? Yeah, right. Virgin, my foot.
Right. Yeah, right.
Sure.
And every one of you would have said the same thing. Virgin my foot. Because you understand, there's never been a child born of a virgin ever before, and there'll never be ever one again. So that one isolated little lady, Mary, young lady, pure, chosen, handpicked by God to do the will of God, to bring Jesus into the world, but there was much sorrow involved in the will of God for her life.
Yep, that's right.
Can anybody relate? Sorrow involved in the will of God for my life, but it's all because of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Can anybody relate? Are y'all listening to me tonight? Amen. Sorrow in my life, but it's all because of the will of God, and it's all for Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
You remember our memory verse a couple of weeks ago? I know that was a couple of weeks ago. But not with eye service as men pleasers. If Mary would have been a man pleaser, God would have never picked her.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're a man pleaser, God can't use you.
Amen.
God says not with eye service, not for eyes, what everybody can see, not to please men, but as servants of
Christ.
Thank you, Brother Benny. He remembers. Now, do you remember where it's at?
Yes, sir.
Where?
That was...
I'll help you. Ephesians 6:6. Amen. But not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the
heart.
From the heart. Now, that brought sorrow to Mary's life.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had to do it because it was for Jesus. Listen, there's nothing more important than doing the will of God. That's what we've been talking about over these last few weeks. And it was the will of God. But I promise you, it was frowned on by her mother, her espoused husband, promised husband, fiancé. I don't like to use that word because that's French. Amen. I just like to use the Bible term, her espoused husband. Fiancé. That sounds... Anyway. But it was sorrow. But it had to happen.
That's right. Yep.
And it brought Jesus into this world. And listen, thank God for it.
Amen.
Thank God for it. Amen. There was a little bit of sorrow, but I promise you the joy that overcame her when she saw that baby and when she was able to... By the way, he never disobeyed her once. I have no idea what that's like, and neither do you. Everybody that has kids and everybody who is a kid, he never obeyed her once. He never talked back to her once. What a joy it was to raise a kid like that.
Amen.
Amen.
What a joy it was to raise I was nowhere like that, neither were you.
That's right. Amen.
But Jesus was, she said, Jesus, clean your room. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Jesus, take the trash out. Yes, ma'am. Jesus, go help your dad. Yes, ma'am. And she's thinking, oh, thank you, God, for such a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessed child this is.
Amen.
But she knew he was the Savior of the world, too. Why doesn't God give us more insight into his young life? I don't know. It just doesn't. But the fact is, you know, he was perfect in every way. Sinless, holy, harmless, and undefiled. Separate from sinners. He was different than every other kid on the playground, you understand? And Mary was, it was a joy for her to have a child like that. But it came through sorrow. It came through sorrow. If you'll bear the sorrow today, listen, for the joy that's set before you tomorrow, it will be worth it all.
Amen.
It will be worth it all. There's nothing to remember. I'm still talking about Jesus. I'm still talking about the oasis in the barren land. I'm still talking about the fact that he's higher and more honorable than all. I'm still talking about praising him. But sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable to do the will of God. But don't worry about it. When you see the other side, so to speak, you'll say, thank you, God, for letting me endure that sorrow, because now I see the joy.
Amen.
Weeping may endure for a night, amen, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You may have to sweat a little bit passing out tracts. You may have to walk a little bit. Your back may get sore. Your feet may get sore. By the way, I picked September on purpose. You know, when a few years ago we did it in August. And everybody was thinking, preacher, what are you, a slave driver? Why are you doing this to us in August? So I said, okay, compassion, tender heart. We'll change it to September.
Amen.
Because it's not as hot. I understand.
But you still
get sore feet and aching backs and dogs run you up trees or something like that. I don't know. Miss Barbara's got a story about a dog today when she was handing out tracts. I don't know. But you know what she's doing? She's just letting God use her.
Amen.
Well, that was no real sorrow, you understand, but I'm just using that as an example. Whatever we do today, whatever it costs us today, will be well worth it tomorrow.
Amen.
It will be well worth it tomorrow. I mean, Evan saved today because Miss Claudia said, I'm going to put some tracts out here.
Amen.
You understand, Benny's a member of our church and has been for years because we were handing out tracts and put one on his door, etc., etc., etc. Whatever you may be going through today, understand, the joy that comes tomorrow is
Amen.
Far greater than anything you're going through today.
Amen.
Anything. Jabez is a wonderful picture of Jesus. We know from the passage next, his name means sorrow. Now turn to Isaiah 53. Turn to Isaiah 53. Everybody okay? Amen? Y'all seeing Jesus? Are y'all seeing Jesus? Good. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 3. Jabez's name itself means sorrow. And I want you to look in Isaiah 53. This is the gospel according to Isaiah. Amen. Verse 3, he, Jesus, is despised. That means treated like he was no big deal, completely disrespected, and even rejected of men. Notice, a man of what? Sorrows. And acquainted, that means very familiar with what? Grief. And we, yes, you and me, folks, hid, as it were, our faces from him. You know, you've heard the gospel. You heard the gospel before you got saved.
Yep.
Come on now, you heard the gospel before you got... And you know what you did? You hid your face from him.
Amen.
That's right. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to hear that anymore. Not now. I'm having too much fun.
Uh-huh.
I'm having too much fun.
Right.
And you hid your face from him. Who? Jesus? Yeah, you hid your face. We've done it. Come on. We're honest. We heard it many times before we finally... But I hope you didn't. That's great. You did better than I did. But most of us heard it more than once.
Amen.
We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was, notice, despised. And we esteemed him. We didn't care. We esteemed him not. But I want you to understand something. Jesus is called the Man of Sorrows. There's a song named the Man of Sorrows. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I could say more, but he is a man of sorrows. He left heaven.
Yes.
You know, in heaven, there's no sorrow.
That's right.
Amen.
There's no tears. There's no heartache. There's no burdens. He left it on purpose. He left his Father. So why did he pray so much? Preacher, why did he go up in the mountain and pray all night long? Because he missed his Father.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
And he came back down from the mountain the next morning. The sun's shining bright. The birds are singing, man. And he's full of life and ready to go. And here comes another Pharisee.
Yep.
So he's got, oh Lord, I got to go back to pray.
Amen.
He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knows what it means to have sorrow and grief in him. He left heaven. He left his Father. He left the angels. You understand, the angels worshipped him. The angels still adore him today.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, he left all of that worship and praise and honor and glory to come down to fault-finding, critical Pharisees.
Yeah, amen. Right. Yep.
That's right.
Me and you.
Amen.
He left heaven. He left the angels. He left the Father's side. He was made flesh. You understand? He had never known hunger before.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Amen.
Anybody's stomach growling? He had never known hunger. He had never known thirst before.
Amen.
He had never known what it was like to be sleepy. God neither sleeps nor slumbers.
Yep. Amen.
He didn't know what it was like to be sleepy. when he was leaning on the well there at Jacob's well, witnessing to that Samaritan woman, he was wore plumb out. He was thirsty and tired. He'd never known that before.
Yep.
I'm talking about our Savior. He never knew what it was like to be lonely. Lonely, yeah, he was the only one. He was the only one who had to die on that cross for our sins.
Right.
By himself. Yep. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yep. Amen. That's right.
Everybody else down here wagging their heads and scoffing and spitting at him, and God turned his back on him, and it was dark for 3 hours,
yeah.
Pitch black.
That's right.
He never knew what it was like to be lonely before. He never understood hunger and pain and lonely and sleepiness. But by the grace of God, he certainly never knew what death was.
Right. Yeah, amen. That's right.
That's our Savior.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Man of sorrows. What a name.
Amen.
Amen.
Next, Jabez, we know, had a prayer life. A prayer life. Remember, the Bible says that he cried out to God, the God of Israel. Turn back over there. Let's look at the prayer that he prayed. I'm almost done. But I just want to look at Jesus for a little while tonight.
Amen.
Jabez called on the God of Israel, verse 10, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Our Savior, just like Jabez, was a man of prayer. Can I say something to you? Just like God answered Jabez's prayer, we only see one prayer. I can't say that God answered all of Jabez's prayer, but God doesn't show us everything about Jabez's life, because he's trying to make a point here, but because God did answer and does answer all of Jesus' prayer. You don't believe that? Well, I can give you scripture for it. I'll just give you one for the sake of time. John chapter 11, verse 41 says, "Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always."
Amen.
And he prayed, and sure enough, Lazarus came forth out of the grave.
Amen.
As the everlasting intercessor, Jesus is now praying these things for you and me. Notice, he says, the specifics of this prayer and how they apply to us today. He said, he called on the God of Israel. Jesus gets God on our side.
Yep. Right. Amen.
You understand, I cannot ever be on God's side except through Jesus.
Right. Yeah,
amen. We were at enmity with God.
Yeah.
We were against God. Our sinful nature was nothing but sinful nature.
Yeah.
And God can't even lay his eyes on that iniquity.
That's right.
All he saw was sin and iniquity and evil. And the Bible says that though, because of Jesus, because of that broken veil, his broken flesh, and his shed blood, now we have direct access. Amen. We have boldness to come before the throne of God. He is not only our Savior, now God is our Father. You see, the prayer life of Jesus, the interceding for us, gets God on our side.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know Jesus. I'm glad Jesus knows me. I'm glad that I have a Lord God, Savior in heaven, who is praying for me right now.
Amen.
He says, "Bless me indeed." It says, "Look, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." When God blesses Jesus, you understand, God blesses me.
Yeah,
think about that. Christ is in me.
Yeah. Amen.
So if God blesses Jesus, God blesses me.
Yeah.
Amen.
God says, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ.
Yeah.
Why? He strengthens me.
Yeah.
So when Jesus gets God on my side, when I got saved, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I by faith, I simply said, "Lord, I believe, I receive." He gave me everlasting life, but that was just the beginning.
Right. Yeah, amen.
From that point on, he is now my Father. He is now looking out for me. He is now working and blessing my life.
Amen.
He's on my side because of Jesus. And when he blesses Jesus, he blesses me. When he blesses Jesus, he blesses you if you're saved tonight. Notice he says, "Enlarge my coast." I believe this is Jesus saying, praying to the Father, God in heaven, "God, please, I want more people to get saved."
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
More people to get saved.
Amen.
You You understand that he'll never forget Calvary.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen to what I'm saying tonight. Jesus is not ever going to forget Calvary.
That's right.
Like we so often do.
Yeah.
All he's got to do is look down at his hands.
That's right.
And he knows why he did that.
Yeah, amen.
He did that so people could be saved.
Yeah, amen. That's right, man. Amen.
And he's praying now. Listen now, don't miss this. He's praying to God. God, please, enlarge my coast. Please, let more people get saved.
Amen.
That's right.
But wait a minute. Remember, he's going to use us.
Right. Yeah.
So God in heaven is praying. Jesus is praying to his Father. And saying, God, please, bless them.
Yeah.
So that more people can get saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know, man. I don't know, but I don't think I'm doing enough.
Amen.
I don't think I'm doing enough. Jesus died. And now he's in heaven saying, oh God, please, enlarge my coast.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to encourage my people. Bless me so that my people will work and serve and honor me. I'm not doing enough. I thank God for the 3,800 tracks. Listen, I'm so thrilled, and God's already blessing, and people are getting saved. But Jesus is still in heaven. Oh God, enlarge my coast.
Amen.
I gave my life for those people.
That's right.
I sure see Jesus in Jabez.
Amen.
Enlarge my coast, he said. I just hear Jesus' voice saying, oh God, please, don't let that one go.
Amen.
Don't let that one go.
Right.
They're on the brink of eternity. Don't let them go. Let him go. Send a soul winner over there. Send a track. Send a gospel witness. Don't let him go. Then he says, that thine hand might be with me. I don't know. Can't hardly finish this. This is God's hand of protection. God's hand of power. God's hand of provision.
Yeah.
Listen, when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 in front of his disciples, he looked up to heaven and started praying, and he prayed a whole chapter. He prayed a whole chapter out loud in front of his disciples, and they just had to sit there and hear that their Savior intercede for them. I don't know about you, but I think I would have been on my face.
Amen.
Weeping. Because all he did was pray for them. And that's all he's doing today, is praying for us.
Amen.
Jesus. That thy hand would be with me. Oh, but remember, when God's hand is with Jesus, it's with us. He's in us. You understand?
Amen.
Protection, power, provision. Keep me from evil. Here's what we need to look at for a minute. That thy hand would be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. How many times do we drag Jesus through our evil?
Yeah.
And Jesus is in heaven saying, oh God, will you please keep me from evil? I'm tired of having to go through their evil with them. You understand what I'm saying? You can't do anything evil without Christ being right there in you.
Right.
Everything you put in your ears that's evil, Christ is saying, oh God, please, make them turn that off. Every time you sit something in front of your eyes that's evil, God, Christ is praying, oh God, please keep me from that evil. I don't want to see that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be around that. Are you listening to me tonight? Christ is praying, why? Why are they still walking in evil? I've saved them. Don't they see my hands? Don't they remember the cross? Don't they remember the life that I gave them? Oh God, why are they still walking in evil? And Christ is interceding for us. Please, keep me from evil. And he says, listen to what he says, that it would not grieve me. And listen, I want you to understand, the Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's right.
When I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, folks, I'm grieving Christ.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
When I am evil, filled with rebellion and evil sin and worldliness, ungodliness, unrighteousness, and I just continue down that path, Christ is there with me. Christ is having to go through it with me. And he says, oh God, why do they continue to grieve me?
Yeah. Amen.
You know what grief means, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Great sorrow.
Right.
Christ in heaven already had to come down here and live among us, like we talked about. He already had to suffer. He died with blood running down his face, spittle hanging off of his face, his skin ripped off of his face. The back of his back was just shred apart with furrows from the cat of nine tails. They beat him, they whipped him, they spit upon him, they punched him, and he went through all of that. But yet we continue to grieve him.
Yeah, right.
And he's in heaven saying, God, please, God, change their hearts.
Amen.
Yep. Why do they keep grieving me like this?
Right.
I mean, do you think about that when you just do what you want to do? Do you think about that when you just live your life? Do you think about that when you just feel whatever you feel like doing, no matter what it hurts or does to anybody else? What about Christ?
Amen.
We don't think about it. He's in heaven though, and he can't overlook it. He doesn't miss it. He's right there. And he says, why do they keep grieving me? I don't know about you, but I'm convicted.
Amen.
There's a dwelling place named after Jabez. Remember I told you that? Every heart that's born again, every heart, Christ in them. A new dwelling place.
Yeah.
Named after Jabez, Christ in me. I'm now no longer just a Pastor Fogg, but Christ is in me. And now he has a new dwelling place, a new residence. He took up residence in my heart on May 13th, 2004 at 3551 Cindy Drive in Fort Worth, Texas. And he's still there and he's forever there.
Amen.
And you know, one day, I believe there's also a place named after him, that New Jerusalem, hallelujah, where I'm going to go to live forever with him on the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper, hallelujah, where the throne of God is seated in the throne of the Lamb, and the river of life flows out from it, crystal clear water. Amen. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see him face to face, because I have a new dwelling place named after him. Yeah. Jesus Christ, this is the new city. This is the city of David. This is the city of Zion. This is Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the city of peace.
Yeah.
Named after him.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jabez, a perfect picture of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that your people would see Jesus tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd break our hearts to be more faithful, to be more loyal to you. Lord, my heart is convicted, God. I'm sorry, Lord. I confess to you. Many times I've grieved you with my discouragement, with my slothfulness, with my disobedience. How many times, God, I've let people walk by that you're praying for to be saved, and I let them walk by. I don't even give them a track. Lord, I pray for your help tonight. I pray for all of us, God, to get a new vision of the face of our Savior. Bless your people, God. Oh, I love them so much. Lord, I just want them to see Jesus. I just want them to see what's really going on from a new perspective. Bless them, I pray, please. Bless the invitation, God. Work in our hearts. May we not resist your Spirit. May we not grieve you tonight, Lord. May we not grieve you any longer. Please, bring us to repentance. In Jesus' name I pray.